Invitation to Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah began to speak to the kingdom of Judah around the time that Ashurbanipal, the last great king of Assyria, died. Jeremiah continued to bring the word of the Lord to the kingdom of Judah for the next 40 years. As the Assyrian Empire crumbled, Judah experienced a revival of its fortunes and national character under Josiah. But it then fell back into spiritual and moral decline under kings Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. It was eventually destroyed by Babylon. The book that preserves Jeremiah's prophecies chronicles these events from his eyewitness perspective. This book contains many of his sermons and prophetic oracles, as well as biographical narratives of his experiences during the last years of the Judean kingdom. These materials are not ordered chronologically or thematically. Instead, they're intricately arranged based on matching words and phrases. For example, in one episode, Jeremiah visits a potter, and then shortly afterwards, he smashes a pottery jar. Pashur, the son of Immer, arrests Jeremiah, and then a different Pashur, the son of Malchijah, comes from the king to ask his advice. Prayers of Jeremiah that express his inner anguish are placed inside each of these pairs of episodes. In this way, the very form of the book illustrates how Jeremiah experienced external conflict with those who resisted his message and internal conflict as he struggled to bring that message in the face of their opposition. This entire section is bracketed by oracles that Jeremiah delivered at the city gates to the kings and people of Judah who went through them. So the arrangement is gates, potter, prayer, potter, Pashur, prayer, Pashur, gates. Arrangements like this represent the smallest level of organization in the book. There are also larger principles of organization. The book begins with a historical heading and ends with a historical narrative that describes the fall of Jerusalem, the event Jeremiah was best known for predicting. In between, the book is built out of basic units that are marked with a reference at the word of the Lord coming to the prophet under particular circumstances. Jeremiah's trip to the potter and his visit from Pashur, son of Malchijah, are examples of these individual units. All of them are gathered into four large groups, so that the book as a whole has four main parts. The first part consists mostly of poetic oracles, with relatively brief prose sermons and narratives interspersed. Most of this material is not dated. The few indications that are given show that it comes from a variety of periods, from the reign of Josiah right down to the time of Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. The second part of the book is mostly narrative. The episodes it contains typically are dated, but they're not in chronological order. They come from the reigns of Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. The third part of the book consists of narrative episodes that are in chronological order. These describe the last days of the Judean kingdom. The fourth and final large part of the book contains poetic oracles that Jeremiah spoke against surrounding nations over a period of many years. This section culminates in an oracle against Babylon. There's another large organizing principle in the book of Jeremiah as well. Even though the oracles against the nations are now the fourth part of the book, the introduction to these oracles comes right after the first part, so this is where they may originally have been placed. This is where they're found in the Septuagint, an early Greek translation of the First Testament. In addition, a long poetic oracle has been inserted in the middle of the second part of the book, which is otherwise mostly narrative. The result of this further arranging is a book in which Jeremiah's poetic oracles appear at the beginning, middle, and end. This highlights their importance. The middle oracle, which promises a new covenant to heal the hearts of God's people, and which also begins with a description of Jeremiah's words being written down, is shown to be the most important of all. While the book of Jeremiah carries us back and forth in place and time, its themes nevertheless remain constant. Like his predecessors, Jeremiah declares that there will be judgment for wrongdoing, but that it will be followed by forgiveness and new life. God calls him both to uproot and tear down, and to build and to plant. In particular, the promise in the center of the book that the Lord will make a new covenant with the people of Israel, that God will put his law in their minds and write it on their hearts, demonstrates God's power and plan to do more than simply punish evil. He will overcome it with good. in spite of everything that has happened to seemingly derail God's plan for Israel and for the world, God will find a way to bring those plans to fruition. Unlike his predecessors, however, Jeremiah also gives us an intimate look into his own heart and into his relationship with God as his fellow Judeans reject him and even conspire to kill him for speaking the word of the Lord. His questions, his protests, and his anguish pour forth, and God frequently replies as he faithfully carries out his mission.
The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth, in the territory of Benjamin, the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." The word of the Lord came to me again, "What do you see?" "I see a pot that is boiling," I answered. "It is tilting toward us from the north." The Lord said to me, "From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms," declares the Lord. "Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshipping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready, stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." The word of the Lord came to me, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, 'Where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land, to eat its fruit and rich produce. But you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priests did not ask, 'Where is the Lord?' Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. cross over to the coasts of Cyprus and look, send to Kedar and observe closely, see if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Is Israel a servant, a slave by birth? Why then has he become plunder? Lions have roared, they have growled at him, they have laid waste his land. His towns are burned and deserted. Also, the men of Memphis and Tapanhas have cracked your skull. Have you not brought this on yourselves by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? Now why go to Egypt to drink water from the Nile? And why go to Assyria to drink water from the Euphrates? Your wickedness will punish you. Your backsliding will rebuke you. Consider then and realize how evil and bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord your God and have no awe of me, declares the Lord Almighty. Long ago you broke off your yoke and tore off your bonds. You said, I will not serve you. Indeed, on every high hill and under every spreading tree, you lay down as a prostitute. I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? Although you wash yourself with soap and use an abundance of cleansing powder, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the Sovereign Lord. How can you say, I am not defiled? I have not run after the Baals. See how you behaved in the valley. Consider what you have done. You are a swift she-camel running here and there, a wild donkey accustomed to the desert, sniffing the wind in her craving, in her heat. Who can restrain her? Any males that pursue her need not tire themselves. At mating time they will find her. Do not run until your feet are bare and your throat is dry. But you said, it's no use. I love foreign gods, and I must go after them. As a thief is disgraced when he is caught, so the people of Israel are disgraced, they, their kings, and their officials, their priests, and their prophets. They say to wood, you are my father, and to stone, you gave me birth. They have turned their backs to me and not their faces. Yet when they are in trouble, they say, come and save us. Where then are the gods you made for yourselves? Let them come if they can save you when you are in trouble. For you, Judah, have as many gods as you have towns. Why do you bring charges against me? You have all rebelled against me, declares the Lord. In vain I punished your people. They did not respond to correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a ravenous lion. You of this generation, consider the word of the Lord. Have I been a desert to Israel, or a land of great darkness? Why do my people say, we are free to roam, we will come to you no more? Does a young woman forget her jewelry, a bride her wedding ornaments? Yet my people have forgotten me, days without number. How skilled you are at pursuing love! Even the worst of women can learn from your ways. On your clothes is found the lifeblood of the innocent poor, though you did not catch them breaking in. Yet in spite of all this, you say, I am innocent. He is not angry with me. But I will pass judgment on you because you say, I have not sinned. Why do you go about so much changing your ways? You will be disappointed by Egypt, as you were by Assyria. You will also leave that place with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected those you trust. You will not be helped by them. If a man divorces his wife, and she leaves him and marries another man, should he return to her again? Would not the land be completely defiled? But you have lived as a prostitute with many lovers. Would you now return to me, declares the Lord? Look up to the barren heights and see. Is there any place where you have not been ravished? By the roadside you sat waiting for lovers, sat like a nomad in the desert. You have defiled the land with your prostitution and wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and no spring rains have fallen. yet you have the brazen look of a prostitute. You refuse to blush with shame. Have you not just called to me, my father, my friend from my youth? Will you always be angry? Will your wrath continue forever? This is how you talk, but you do all the evil you can.